all of those taxing bodies represent that site. They collectively agreed to an agreement with Rivian that if they met certain standards from year to year, they would receive a 100% property tax abatement. So for 2017, Rivian agreed to purchase the property. That was the first initiation of this agreement, which included the land, the building, and the contents, and that they would invest $500,000 back into that plant.
Have they done both of those things?
They have. In fact, we've worked with Rivian going back into December as the year was closing out and through January and early February. We did a couple things. One is we had them submit all documentation to show proof of purchase and title for the property, and they've been able to prove that, as well as show documentation of transfer of funds to show that they did that. They also provided a very detailed itemized list of expenditures that they did to improve the building and begin to build it to a place that they can use it.
How much have they spent on the building?
The grand total over the last year was close to $900,000.
So they've gone above their projected.
They went well above, yes.
And how much of that was spent in the local community?
I think if you were to look at an itemized list, you would see quite a few local businesses that were they were working with and had contracts with, without listing their names. I mean, that's sort of a...
So a third, a quarter, half?
I would say maybe, a third or more. Again, I didn't look through this specifically to see how many businesses locally, but I did recognize a lot of names from the community that they've interacted with.
That might be something that is publicly reportable, and it would benefit all concerned to publicly report to achieve some reassurance that the community is in fact benefiting from Rivian.
Absolutely. Like I said, my responsibility was to ensure that they did invest in the building, but you bring a good point that knowing how those monies are flowing through the community and benefiting. We work closely with Rivian. I talk to them on a weekly basis, and we always emphasize, and we do the same thing with Brandt Industries, as we continue to introduce them to local businesses for those relationships. And I think both of those, Rivian and Brandt, are committed to using local business.
Since you've seen the invoices, what have they been spending it on? How is the facility being improved?
Yeah, so they've done some improvements with, just to give you a few examples, upgrading some of the sprinkler systems. They've completely updated their IT infrastructure. They've invested in some equipment that, is some large-scale operational equipment. A 2.7 million square foot building, there's a lot of upkeep and maintenance. And we all realize that if that building had sat empty, it would deteriorate pretty rapidly. So they're putting money back into it. And as we look towards 2018, the next level of commitments is to hire 35 people. And I can tell you that they're going to exceed that very quickly.
How many have they hired already?
I think we're in the neighborhood of around 35 that they've already got, and they are at that standard for this year. And the next level of investment is $10 million. So now we're talking, much more larger sums of funds being pushed into that property this coming year in preparation for what we believe will be 2019 production.
Have you verified the invoices?
Yes. So we have at the EDC, we collect the invoices as well as proof of expenditures on those with, whether it be a canceled check or some sort of payment to back up those invoices. We keep all of those at our office, and we did a couple things. One is we had a working session with the taxing bodies at the EDC with Rivian to ask questions about the invoices and go through the expenditures in-house at the EDC. The next step we did was we took a tour out at Rivian to specifically see some of those improvements that were made with those taxing bodies. So we took several steps. We wanted to make sure it was very transparent with the taxing bodies and that they had comfort that every question that they had could be answered. And I think we've done that. So,
how many people attended from the various taxing bodies?
So we had representation from the major taxing bodies. When I say major, so we had Unit 5, the county, the Heartland Community College, and the town of Normal were all present at that meeting to go through the vouchers and the invoices. And then I think we had everyone represented from the taxing bodies for the tour. Again, we went through multiple iterations to make sure that we satisfied the the public interest in Rivian, and they've done that. They've exceeded that, and we will be certifying that over this next week with those taxing bodies that they did meet those obligations.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. We're talking with Kyle Hamm, the head of the EDC for the Bloomington Normal area. 30 people hired, $900,000 or thereabouts spent. What is the tax abatement that they're looking at benefiting from that performance target?
That number is around $300,000, and that's split up amongst the six taxing bodies that we mentioned. Obviously, the school district is the largest conveyor of that, but that is the number that will be abated upon approval of the taxing bodies.
Would you argue that that is worth it to the community?
I think it is a very small price to pay for not only having that building be reused, but also for what Rivian's been doing, what they're planning to do, and what they've proven they can do to bring growth and prosperity to this community. So the answer is yes. We literally a year ago were facing the possibility, the very real possibility of tearing that building down. The previous owners had contracts in hand to demo that building. And I think a lot of people don't realize is that a big portion of that site, there's 20 and 25 feet of concrete in the ground, stuff that you could never remove, at least at a cost that was beneficial to reutilize that land. So that was a very real possibility. Rivian has come in. They've reinvested. They've brought back former employees. They're hiring. They're on schedule to begin production in 19. So, I think it's a small investment on the part of the community to see potential large-scale growth.
If they're going to spend $10 million in 18 in this year, what are they going to spend it on?
I don't know, to be honest with you. They have a strategy that is getting the building and their line and their production, their paint shop, the stamping, all of those things have to be ready to go to begin production. So I'm sure there'll be some internal costs to getting that building and ready and suitable for their production uses. Beyond that, we don't dig into the specifics throughout the year. They're a private business. We want them to be able to operate and grow their operation. We'll start to see some of those expenses through the year as they make them. We'll also be tracking those as we get towards the end of the year. Again, Rivian's been a great partner. They've been very transparent. How they will invest $10 million this year, I don't know, but we will know as they do it, and particularly as we get to the end of the year when we look at invoices.
They've been very transparent to you. How can you then turn around and be transparent to the public on a more than once a year basis?
Yeah, I think part of that is a continued dialogue with our taxing bodies, which we tend to have semi-regular updates. They're not monthly by any means, but Rivian has, through their CEO or through other agents of the company, have been available to give regular updates to the taxing bodies. So whether it be the mayors or the city managers, the county administrator, they're accessible at all times and make themselves available to have those conversations. Part of the challenge is, as a startup company trying to penetrate the market, they were very open and honest about being in stealth mode from a competitive standpoint. And so I would say they're still in semi-stealth mode, although you saw the announcements about the types of vehicles they're going to be producing came out about a month ago. So I think through 18, you're going to see more and more things come out of the company about their timelines, the production, maybe some ideas to start thinking about what the vehicle might look like and such.
Speaking of transparency, you've been taken to task for a lack of transparency.
Sure.
County board members, city council members, town council members have all actually been heated about that. How are you addressing those concerns?
Yeah, so just to give a little understanding of our structure, so at the EDC, we have a board of directors that has 12 private sector individuals. We also have an appointee from the town of Normal, the city of Bloomington, and the county, as well as the administrators of those three organizations that sit on our board. And so we believe that we provide every level of understanding of what our organization does, how we spend our money, from our budgeting to our audits to our strategic planning. I think really what the gap in communication was is how do we convey that what we're doing beyond just those that sit on our board. And rightfully so, some of the folks that have questioned it, we need to be able to create communication mechanisms to come before them, their larger bodies, more often. Because economic development is an important issue for the community, and people want to hear directly from us what we're doing.
Why has that always been a function of who sits in the director's chair rather than an institutional process before?
Yeah, I don't know. I've been here 3 years, and historically, we have relied on our board members to be the conduit or the liaison between the taxing bodies. And I think, and again, we're more than happy to be more open and communicative and transparent. It's not an issue of we're keeping stuff or want to keep stuff. It was just simply a matter of communicating that in this world where money is tighter, the state of Illinois has made challenges for our communities tougher. We're making budget cuts at every municipal level. Every dollar counts. And so the questions that they have about how we use our money are appropriate. And we're more than happy to share what we can with how we are utilizing their funds. I will add, though, that there is a challenge for us is that we deal with private businesses that are moving here, keeping some level of confidentiality through that development stage.
And yet there were these desk thumping calls by public elected officials for project lists, contacts that you've had and what kinds of firms you're dealing with and what kinds of projects you're hoping to get.
Yeah.
How do you negotiate that tension then?
I think it's a more open dialogue about what it is we're doing and how the process works. I'll use Brandt as the example. We have a company that comes to us because we are an organization that doesn't have to be privy to the FOIA rules. So they can come in and talk to us about what their plans are, how much they're planning to spend in an expansion, how many people they're going to hire, work with the state of Illinois on incentives without having all of that be out there ahead of the time before they even make a decision. And a lot of times, these businesses are looking at other locations. And so being able to come in and evaluate a community quietly is important to these private sector businesses. And so it's just a balancing act of being able to convey that we are working on projects and that when we're able to convey as much information as we can, we will.